You're listening to Pod of Wonder, the podcast that creates a world using random Wikipedia articles and then plays a game in that world. This season, we're putting together a heist. Recording when Eddie comes in, but I'm just okay. Preamble.
Yes.
Have you ever poured yourself an amount of alcohol and then said, "Oh no"?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah. And now I've read an article that starts out very interesting and then ends very sad.
Oh, no.
And now I'm having complicated drunk feelings about it.
Oh, I am very aware of this this experience.
Yeah. I'll say this only because I don't think I'm going to use this article anymore. Uh-huh. But so it's Vesna Vulovic. It was a Serbian flight attendant who holds the world record for surviving the highest fall without a parachute. Because she was the sole survivor of a briefcase bombing.
Oh my god.
You know, her plane blew up mid-flight and she was the only person who survived. And kind of in the way that how somebody becomes famous for something that is completely out of their control.
Oh god, yeah.
Like the more they talk about it, the more they feel sad about it. Like, survivor's guilt, kind of.
It's basically having to relive your trauma over and over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This could have been anybody, but it happened to me, and so I have to deal with all of it.
Uh-huh.
And basically she was like, "I'm tired of doing interviews about the fucking bombing," and just sort of like died lonely and alone in her apartment with her, her tiny government stipend for surviving the bombing.
Oh god.
That's something, like, you read the openings, like, oh, world record for longest fall without a parachute. And then it's just, it takes you on this roller coaster.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's, like, badass that it's the world record for the longest fall. Like, that's so cool. That.
Yeah.
But it sucks so much, because that's, like, definitely what it is with, like, tragic shit.
Yeah. And, like, she spent a lot of time as a political activist to the point where, like, she got fired from her job because this was the Soviet Union days. And it just kind of made me, like, sad. Like, drunk sad. Like,
yeah.
Like this woman.
Very maudlin.
Like, yeah.
I feel like maudlin is, like, the best term for drunk sad.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it evokes the drama of it.
Yeah.
Drunk sadness is always very dramatic.
Yeah. It sounds classier than it actually is, which is kind of what I'm shooting for in general in life.
Same.
Hello, friendos.
Hello.
Hi, Eddie.
Salutations. You know what? I'm disappointed. I didn't come in on anything weird this time.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you just missed Danny talking about his feeling very maudlin
over I'm feeling maudlin,
a Wikipedia article. Drunk sad, aka maudlin.
Yeah. I poured an in retrospect inappropriate amount of alcohol and then I found a Wikipedia article that took me on a ride.
As I noisily chew ice, I apologize. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, but hey, pod juice fuels the drain.
Uh-huh. Coming down with a case of pica.
Pica?
Yeah, where you just feel the urge to eat inanimate objects, usually characterized by chewing ice.
I always thought it was pronounced pica, but I also, it's also one of those words that I've never heard out loud until, like, just now. So,
I feel like there's a connection between pika and chew there.
Pika, chew. Oh!
There's something there. Something.
There's something there.
Morpheus's tendency to try and eat cardboard and plastic is apparently pika or pika, whatever it is. But I'm not concerned because he eats regular food.
Morpheus is his own classification of creature. I don't think we
know. He is a cryptid. Like, I always like feel like, what if I'm just being like, you know, a parent who thinks their child is particularly special, but then it's like y'all's reactions to Morpheus's antics. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh no, he is weird. Okay.
Yeah. The picture you, Morgan, the picture you posted of Morpheus's like stomach dangling in the middle. I showed that to Rachel. I'm like, that's not, there is the suggestion of bones inside of just a bag of magical fluid. I don't get it. I you know, he's adorable. And I know you love him, but I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Yeah. Like, having owned several cats, Morpheus is an outlier in any way I can think of.
And I love it. He's the best baby. The best boy. Perfect kitten.
Oh. Jesus.
Oh, hi, Maria.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the pod. How
Long
is your trip?
Time no here.
I'm back from vacation.
Woo! Welcome.
Why, thank you. How's it going?
Maudlin, apparently.
This has been all kinds of stuff so far.
Yeah.
Already.
Oh, I can't wait for the recap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if it's even possible. It's been like 7 minutes and so much has happened so far.
Well, I mean, in terms of our continuity from the last couple of episodes, though, I think we're also in for a doozy. I mean, should we start or end with the robot orgy?
Yeah.
Danny, I think we actually need to go back and start with Gamblemals.
And I think Morgan was there for Gamblemals.
No, I had to get recapped about Gamblemals.
I'm sorry. Reference for everybody who wasn't there. I have pre-gamed a fair bit.
Yes. Danny had a moment of, I poured too much alcohol.
So, Maria was there for Gamblemals.
I missed the last two.
Okay, good.
I think Morgan missed the two before that. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I missed like two episodes and came back and there was a whole lot. And then I'm on fire lately, so Oh yeah, it turns out when you negate like gender dysphoria almost entirely, you have a lot of room for functioning as a person and actually being creative for once.
Yeah.
That's good news.
It's very exciting and weird. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is how maybe other people feel all the time. What?
Yeah. A majority of your negative feelings were stored in your breasts. And
yeah,
now they're
basically,
gone.
Yep. And then just yeet.
Yeet the teats.
Oh, it's just nice. I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of the difficulty with creativity was back pain. And now that's gone. And so now I'm powerful.
Yeah.
No, the shackles the gods had placed on you are gone.
You have good posture. You're raring to go.
Yo, my posture, like, improved overnight. Like, it's kind of disturbing, like, how naturally my posture went to good. Like, I sit up straight naturally now.
Brag about it.
Yeah, fuck, what's my excuse now? Jesus.
Strap on, like, a 5-pound weight to your chest and just do that all day, every day for, like, 15 years, and then remove it, and then boom. Perfect posture.
I'm good.
So, yeah.
Thanks, though. Thanks for the offer.
I mean, forgive me if this is inappropriate, but I am drunk. Do they give you, like, breast facts afterwards? Like, hey, we removed X amount from your body.
No, because I forgot to ask about it. I meant to ask because I really wanted to know about the like the weight that was removed. Uh-huh. I was so curious. Okay. But then like I woke up and I was just like, I forgot to ask. And but I might
how much
ask,
of me was boob.
But I have my like month post-op appointment like next week, so I might try and ask about it then and be like, hey, bye. For any reason, did you happen to like note how much? Did you happen to like do anything with the tissue that I should be aware of or what? But
I need data points here. Like,
just give me an Excel sheet
for my own purposes.
Just give me an Excel to read out and I'll be on my way.
Oh my God.
So anyways, robots versus animals.
Yeah, robots versus animals. We were
talking about a recap, I think.
Yeah. Danny, I think given your current condition, I think it would be best if you tried to gave us our own drunk history of the last two episodes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So the previous two episodes were remarkably focused. Since we're doing a heist, we thought we would build out the grounds around the party and then the party itself. The first episode was focused on security features. So we had the kind of physical security in the form of a guy who had a lot of robot cats and dogs as kind of like scouts / security cameras. And he took his job very seriously. Like, his goal was, like, if anything happens, I want to make sure the people inside don't know about it until afterwards. And he's kind of like Jackson Galaxy, but for robot security. Just sort of, like, weird, eccentric, hippie type, but also, like, really loves his job and is dedicated to it. But is just a little bit quirky. Inside, there are the screaming robot popes, and they are the physical security. They are these sort of headless monstrosities that are like
not headless, partially headless.
Partially headless. Above their neck is a kind of cube that functions as a sort of universal sensory organ.
They have like a mouth and a chin and all that, but like from the above, like in place of the nose and up, is like this cube.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my thing, if you can't tell.
Yeah, and there's 47 of them, I think. Yeah. And they are like the physical security of the robot orgy.
Extreme.
And, you know, it's their job to kind of make sure that, you know, if anybody does get past the robot cats and dogs, that they get no further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Before all that, and I'm just, that's just how the articles are posted in our links channel, is a maze where it's kind of like a hedge maze type scenario where there's kind of like physical challenges that the robots have to put on various kind of animal parts to cross into, to like bypass, you know, to show that they are properly fashionable by like studying the latest animal trends and are properly rich enough to afford said parts to attach to their bodies. Like, you need penguin feet to cross the ice rink, you need like claw hands to scale walls and things like that.
How are these things attached? Are they biologically attached, or are they robot manifestations of animal bodies?
Yeah. So these are all for the robots. So it's basically just swapping out parts. Like, whatever the actual robot looks like, we've been kind of assuming a humanoid form, but like robots can take all shapes. So however you attach whatever to your body to let you pass the thing is fair game.
Okay.
So that's outside the party. Inside the party is a different matter altogether. It is kind of leaning hard into the rich weirdo side of things. These robots have decided that the height of wealth and influence is to not be like a robot at all, but to be like an animal. So they're the kind of peak part of the party is a secret society ceremony where they intentionally ingest some old bad code that gets them a little fucked up. If you do it wrong, it might be dangerous, but it's all part of like getting into this, like, this secret group of the elitist robots, because, like, at a certain point, once everybody you're around has enough money, you have to think of new ways to distinguish yourselves. So this is just like a nonsense society, like the ritual, the code drug. It's all just sort of funsies to make the robots feel important.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it is at that point in the heist itself where they bring out our MacGuffin. So our heist animals need to, like, ultimately get into this ceremony. And, like, that is that brief window where they can steal the rock.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's just one thing. At the party itself, there is a large aquarium where, like, the first robots, possibly coming from another world, perform, like, aquabatics, like aerobatics, but in water. And they're very tight-lipped about their origins. Like, they're not here to discuss, like, who made us? Where did we come from? Like, we're just here to perform. Shut up, please, and let us work. And, like, that takes up a bulk of the physical space at a party. Like, it's kind of Cirque du Soleil meets, like, a history lesson where they're kind of performing robot history in the water through these, like, fantastical, weird, flexy movements, which robots normally aren't able to do. Like, the robots that came later, they're land-based. They don't need the, like, they have the firm casing. They don't need the flexy water movements. I'm moving my arms in a way nobody can see.
It's okay. We'll make up ideas from it.
Yeah.
No, I'm moving my arms in a way no one can see too now.
Seeing it.
Oh, great.
We're all friends. Yeah. Moving arms.
Speak for yourselves. I'm keeping mine perfectly still, like a human, because that's what humans do, right?
They keep their arms still. That's how.
Yeah.
Yep.
Physically straight. Shitty.
I am nothing but angles.
Yeah. And lastly, there's just a guy. He's always on his hustle, but, like, he actually has the money to back it up. Like, I got so many ideas and I'm going to talk to you. You're the person who's going to implement my idea. Now here's $80,000. Go make it happen. That's all I remember about that guy.
He's kind of Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack, but because he's at all these things, but he doesn't fit in. But he will also corner, like, anyone to talk to them about his investments.
That's right.
So, like, he is an obstacle in that if you are part of the serving staff almost, or however these animals decide to sneak in, he could potentially corner them. And especially with his giant aquatic nativity display, because that was part of it. Like, you're supposed to have a nativity somehow, some sort of play going on about Dinky for Dinky Day. And mm-hmm. this is just...
Oh, that's right. You missed three episodes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You missed Dinky Day.
The reason they're celebrating... See, I thought there was another one in there. I wasn't crazy.
Yeah. And Eddie, you can recap this one.
So we did kind of discuss a little bit of the reason behind the party, and that got into the origins of the world. And we decided it's Dinky Day.
Orgy ends of the world.
Well, we'll get there. We established that the thing separating the border between the animal and robot worlds is this jungle with this mysterious mist in there, and it erodes robots very quickly, and people get lost. It's just covered with the wreckage of animals and robots alike, but everything has allegedly emerged from that mist, and the aquatic ancient robots' existence means that there's more inside that mist than anyone knows. Dinky, the first robot sent over to that other side, was hailed as a hero. He was built for this job. He's just a giant orb. He was sent in, never came back, ripped to shreds by animals, because on that side, it's referred to as, I think, the day of the rolling eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck. What is this giant metal thing? It's alive. It's going to attack us. What's going to happen? Tear it apart. And that led to the development and, like, the fracturing of the animal worlds. They developed very quickly after that. I think, Danny, we established somehow that there's a connection between the Gamblemals and the
and the first people who came to this. I know. I love saying it too.
I know. It's so good.
Danny, thank you for that term. But there's a connection between the people who first found Dinky or first came to power at the border on the robot side and the Gamblemals. Anyways, yeah. The important side, the robot side. On the robot side, it became a tradition then to keep sending a search party in and it was started off as like, oh, we got to send every volunteer in there. No one came back. All right, well, let's just send a couple people in to the point where it became one robot. Now it's just, okay, let's just reenact this somehow.
It's like if you turn the Roanoke colony into like a party.
Yeah. Oh God. Wow. That's like,
yeah. Like these people, they did something important. They vanished mysteriously. It's not that mysterious actually, but hey, party.
Don't tell Grant Morrison that. seven soldiers. Read it. But the peak of that, after they've done their code drugs, and kind of the deadline for our intrepid animal invaders, is a robot orgy where they uncase themselves, so just bearing all their machine bits, and just kind of rub up and down on each other, making animal noises while they're all stoned out of their gourds.
Mm-hmm. I just like how I'm slightly like zoning out here and there and then coming back to just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so good. That's Pot of Wonder.
And yeah. that's the last three episodes.
Yeah.
Jesus. There's so much in this.
Yeah. There was a lot that got made. so good.
So welcome back.
I was like 2 miles from Roanoke. And I didn't go.
Oh, no.
You should have stopped by to see Dinky.
Womp, womp. Yeah.
What? Happy Dinky Day, everyone.
Happy Dinky Day.
Excuse me, my family celebrates the day of the rolling eclipse.
Oh, right. You're one of those. Okay. Rolling eclipse.
Anyway.
Yeah, so what are we going to establish this episode? What are we going to do? I tossed out something about the animals, but I think a multi-article episode might go on a little longer.
Yeah, those two of those three episodes were multi-articles, so mm-hmm. like that's... we do create a lot.
Yeah,
in those.
Yeah,
it's just like a flood of stuff, and we could be a thank you. Maybe we could be a bit more focused with this one. Like,
I think you say that every time.
You know, one of these days is going to be true.
Look, we did really good on the last couple that I was in, that I mm-hmm. was present for. We stayed on task. We got the things done. Like, the last episode, we literally, like, finished recording within an hour.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's ever happened before.
It might have happened in the episode we didn't have Eddie. Yeah. So... blame it on the alcohol if you want, but maybe we can cosmic dandelion this a little bit.
Mm, like I just haven't been here for a cosmic dandelion. Yeah.
Huh. No, you were here for Stargate with Otters.
Oh, right. That was a cosmic dandelion.
Yeah. But we just pull up an article and see what idea comes to us. The slight guidance of something about the animal world, because I do like that instinct, Eddie, of we should build up the animal world a bit more so we know what our characters for the game are going to be like. Have we lost Eddie?
Eddie?
Have I lost Eddie?
I can't Sorry, hear Eddie.
Mute was on. Okay. Panic averted. But yeah, I like that. Sorry, I was agreeing with the ideas.
Okay.
So yes, let us do the thing.
We're putting the band back together.
Yeah, so pull up an article. See what animal ideas come to you.
Are we already in it?
If you're ready to go for it.
I mean, I guess, am I ready to go? Yeah, I guess so. But I pulled up an article that has nothing to do with anything. It's called mm-hmm. Weather Underground. It's an album. But I don't want to read it further. Pass. I want to talk about worms.
Okay. Please. Talk about worms.
Go on.
Worms.
I'm just saying, what is the worm like? worm life in this world.
Maria, I missed your question so much.
I love it. Oh my god. This makes me so happy.
This is what was missing from the last two episodes. It's like
triumphant return of Maria.
Fuck, now I just can't stop thinking about, well, what are the worms in this world? How do worms work?
I mean, are they people?
Are they transportation? Are they both?
Yeah.
I mean, what is a worm's life? It feels like you live underground. You're existing in a space that's hugging you closely while you're eating it and pooping it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's just a continual like connection with your body. Are worms outside of the whole experience of the animal versus robot reality, or are they part of it?
Maybe they're sentient construction equipment.
Oh.
Like massive worms.
Maybe it's like in a... I have not yet played Wander Home, but I know enough of the lore. But maybe it's like in Wander Home where like bugs are pets or something. Like maybe worms and like other annelids and arthropods and everything are like, you know, they're just like they just exist in the world, but they are separate from like the vertebrates.
Yeah. That was where my thought went, is like Wander Home style, like if animals are people, like are bugs animals or are bugs also people?
I mean, bugs are animals in the real world.
Oh yeah.
I feel like it would make
strictly
sense.
Wander Home terms,
cause like,
but yeah.
Because like humans are animals, and we are just the only animals that have developed in a way that creates this kind of particular society. So maybe it's just like vertebrates maybe developed in a way that creates this particular society. Maybe this is like our world, even like millions of years in the future when like changes in evolution have happened. But I feel like bugs and annelids and other like invertebrates are creatures that do not participate in society role, maybe. Like
maybe not that society.
They might have a differing intelligence or a differing like idea of society and participate in that way, but it's completely separate from the robots versus animals world, and maybe they exist in both. Because I mean, even a robot world, like you can't fucking get rid of all the bugs.
No.
Like you will never be able to.
Damn.
If bugs existed, you can't get rid of all of them because everything, literally everything will fall apart. And like even robots will need some kind of organic life to subsist and, you know, survive on.
I don't necessarily want to do the episode on this. And honestly, I feel like the episode could just be this, like us asking questions about the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the idea of like a world spanning underground empire of like just worms. Like they're in the animal world or in the robot world. Like they're unified in a way the other two worlds aren't.
They're completely separated, but they're still like crucial to both worlds in different ways. And like it's like how I feel like fungi are treated, because like fungi are so integral to our world and the development of the world and the maintenance of everything. And they're neither like plant nor animal. They're a completely different separate concept, but they're still just as vital.
Yeah. Isn't there like in Oregon, I think, or somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, there's just this gigantic mushroom field that's technically like one single organism, and it spans like miles and miles and is like thousands of years old.
Because like the stuff that you can see is only like the reproductive organs. It's just the fruiting bodies, and everything else is underground, and it's in mycelium networks, and it spans like one organism could span like miles and be enormous. So I feel like that's kind of maybe what role that bugs and arthropods and worms and all that other stuff fulfill in both these worlds. Like even in the robot world, like where animals aren't really there, they're still gonna need to be at reliance on some kind of like organic fuels or organic like development. And you've got to deal with pollination. Like, they would have to put in a severe, like, effort into, like, nanotechnology to account for the roles that insects and arthropods and, like, annelids and all that stuff play in the world to fulfill it. And so I feel like it might be worth it to just have it be, like, okay, bugs and arthropods and other, like, insects, all that stuff, have them play a role that's separate from the rest of the sociocultural species.
Yeah, I would think that they would be unconnected to the drama.
They're a connection to everything.
Almost like, but yeah, but connected to everything. They're almost like, you know, like the withdrawn observer.
Just to kind of back up for a second, I think something we established about the robots, though, is that they want to be like animals. And I can't imagine, like, they'd actually have real flowers and plants, even in that the garden. I feel like a lot of that would be artificial plants because it's all about mimicry for them. But I do like the idea of this kind of kingdom of all those underground squirmies that kind of extends, but to the robots, maybe they're not involved with them. It's kind of a, oh, here's a curiosity. Let's not interfere with it, but observe. And the underground things are like, these robots, let's not interfere, but observe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just kind of this,
yeah.
It's not even like a cold war. It's just kind of a lukewarm coexistence.
And I feel like maybe the cultural, like, significance and stuff, like things that different areas play into the cultures, like maybe it's just so separate that it's like, both of these cultures are evolving simultaneously, but, like, they don't cross over because they're like, oh, we're both going to be, like, observing or, you know, kind of passively participating because their values and, like, work is so different. You know, like, how different human cultures have different standards for what involves, like, civilization or technology or whatever. Like, it's not actually as black and white as you think. Anyway, I'm tipsy and I am rambling, so feel free to use what you can. And
I mean, high five.
Honestly, I would actually be really into doing a whole episode on, like, how bugs fit into this, like, whole world. So Maria, thank you for for raising this.
I also like the idea of how do bugs fit in. Because we overlook them so often, but...
Yeah.
And also, since I am, like, tipsy, please interrupt me, because otherwise I will blather on and on and on. And you might need to be like, Morgan, stop.
So it's Eddie, no, and Morgan, stop?
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. I will not take offense to a Morgan, stop. I need to talk. I promise.
What real quick here, though, I want to kind of toss out that I think just now in this episode, we've closed a loophole from the beginning of the season where we were kind of unsure how our group would get across. We've established there's that border city that cut off comings and goings. But if they're using the underground kingdom to access the robot world. Ooh, and maybe like the gamble moles, maybe that's kind of also how they come in, because that's how they pay off the worms real nice. So they can have access to the robot side and place their bets. And in fact, maybe the worms are some of their best informants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that same thought. Like,
I like that a lot.
Because like, if these worms are like impassive observers, then the gamble moles can like, pay them off or say like, oh, like this will impact your observations. Like, won't this be an interesting experiment or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like these, like the bugs and the arthropods and the worms and all that stuff between the two worlds have never like actually severed in any way. Like they're like, cause they have no reason to, they're similar across the groups, but it's like an often neglected part of the, balance of everything. And so, you know, you pay off the worms to maybe like open up some options to gain access to the bridge throughout, and like, okay, cool, they'll connect with their people on the other side and help you out. I feel like that's like a really good method of doing it, because I'm kind of seeing the worms as like a similar but more active role than, say, like I forget what these like species are called in the Marvel universe, but like the people who watch like everything.
The Watchers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought it was the Watchers, okay. And then I was like, that's too easy, and I'm not going to assume it.
It came from a 1960s Fantastic Four comic. I love Stan and Jack, but they are all the stuff is so dumb. Galactus has a giant G on his chest. What if the Fantastic Four fought God for 3 issues? Anyways, go on. Eddie, stop.
Like, that kind of thing. Like, but more active in kind of a Star Trek way, you know? Like, how humans are, like, you know, we're not going to alter things, but sometimes maybe we will. And, like, it's like a balance of that where it's like, okay, sometimes it's worth it to alter, to assist and change and enact change, but sometimes it's not. And part of the challenge is convincing these creatures with this underground network to like communicate in ways that will aid your crossing.
And I'd say that sort of arrangement is more beneficial for the animals than it would be for the robots, which is why they're like, no, we don't need them. We've got no reason to reach out.
Yeah, like the robots don't need to necessarily cross over or whatever. No. And they might not be super concerned about them because they don't think in the same way.
I take that back. Maybe they get some like black market animal prints. Like, I don't want to turn this into like fur trafficking because I feel like that's weird. But like some sort of like animal clothing, like the clothing the animals wear on that side.
Yeah, like they want the rich and famous robots want to talk to the wealthy and influential animals, like just to get an eye on new trends, like whether or not that's actually representative of what's going on in the animal world. They need something new to bring back.
I have an idea of, you know how insects and butterflies and stuff often mimic animal behavior and patterns to gain safety and all that stuff? Maybe part of the robot's mimicry of organic animal life is based in how these, quote unquote, because they're not necessarily all underground, but, you know, it's an underground network, so to speak. How they're communicating via changing maybe their coloration or changing their disguises, stuff like that. It's like, it's kind of a little bit of a whisper down the lane thing, too, between the worlds. So, like, maybe the arthropods on the animal side end have like a much more direct mimicry of the animals, like coloration and stuff like that, but you know, as it filters through to the robot world, it's like a little bit extra. So, you know, maybe you might get like a cheetah print with like bright yellow rather than like kind of a muted beige, that kind of thing. It's like
I'm thinking it's kind of closer to, you know, those weird looking prehistoric animals that are, it's kind of like, well, we found some bones and we think it's related to this animal. So sure, let's put some skin on it. It looks like,
yeah, that kind of like whisper down the lane thing. Like you don't have full connection. So you're going to have strange interpretations.
Yeah. Early drawings of rhinoceri. Just that look ridiculous.
Oh God. Elephants in the medieval era. Like I remember reading a book when I was younger, that was like, so it was one of those like diary type novels, but the conceit of it was that it was written by a girl, like a young teenage girl in the actual like Middle Ages. So it had like Vespers and all that stuff. And it was like, there was one passage where, somebody like sent back from the Crusades, like an orange, and like talked about an elephant, and it was like so completely like strange and interesting, but like that kind of thing. It's like via correspondence, like stuff gets lost in the details and differently interpreted. Anyway, I am a nerd. This is the kind of thing I think about on a regular basis, so I have a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah, this is why one of the many reasons Pot of Wonder works. This is kind of how our brains work. I don't know. I don't have any other questions about this. I feel like does anyone have any other, because I wanted to kick down. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. No, everything's there.
There's just a secret insect annelid shadow organization. Yeah. Like they're not governing. They're not like having much of an impact on anything. They're just observing. And ooh, like that's not meaningful for a heist, but it's just a fun world building note to know that like everything that's going on is under the auspices of this organization.
What if this is like this underground kingdom is where life originated on both sides? Like we've got the aquatic robot things, but maybe there's a pool deep at the center of this thing where like the common ancestor still dwells in like a deep, inaccessible aquatic hole. And like maybe those dancers, like that's kind of where they retreat to. Like they live in a part of the underground.
Like all this time I was trying to envision what like a robot worm would be. And I just envisioned sort of like a motorized tube that like goes through the soil and there's like enriches it with nitrogen or whatever. And then like it comes out the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could envision that as being like something that like physical, like meat worms created in order to like be more efficient or not have to do the work themselves. And like from there, like, oh, what's on the surface? Let's put some legs on this metal tube and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you get robot society X number of years down the line.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, so the segmented bodies of insects are actually a cousin to early robots.
I mean like exoskeleton, metal skeleton.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's kind of how I was like thinking of it, because if you want to have an explanation for this like robot society without not humans but like super sentient organic life forms, like you need to figure out a way to make them work otherwise. And I feel like arthropods might be the best like option there. Like these like sea scorpions. We brought up sea scorpions before.
That's right.
Dracula, what's it?
Yeah. We accidentally backed into the thing we came up with.
There we go. Boom. Boom, baby.
Wow. Closing all the loopholes this episode.
See, Maria, I have... This is like the last like couple years of Pod of Plunder, and I suddenly have caught up with everyone else in terms of creativity.
Morgan has achieved their final form.
Yes. I mean, we'll see. I'm going to try and start a testosterone at some point later this year, but you know. So we'll see how I evolve even more.
Yeah. Ooh. This is not even their final form.
Yeah, exactly. Boom, baby.
Ooh. Careful, there might be too much power.
Yes, exactly.
The universe can only handle so much.
Look, see, I was playing life on like the super hard mode for my entire life, and now I'm like, oh, neat. Now I'm in normal mode, maybe. Yeah. And then soon I might even be in easy mode.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is like, you just had the creative version of that scene in like the first season of Dragon Ball where Goku's like, oh, that's kind of a challenge. Let's just take off my armbands. Let's take off my boots. Okay, weight's gone. Let's actually go.
Yeah, it's like in this one book series that I read by Tamora Pierce, which I feel like is still just my trans route, so to speak, where this one girl was training to be a knight, and it was like after the knighthood got opened up to women, and like these boys were like being shitty and like weighting down her weapons and all that stuff. And like, she figured it out that they were weighting them down like unfairly to give her a disadvantage, but kept training with them. And then like one time she was like, oh, well, okay, my whatever broke. I need to get a new one, but can I please add some weights to it? Because I've been training with weights added this entire time. And this easy one that everyone else is using is too easy for me. And yeah, anyway. Boom.
Yeah.
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 Boom.
Boom, baby.
Dysphoria and a worm kingdom.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. See, dysphoria lack of dysphoria creates Worm Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Worm Kingdom Dysphoria does sound like some sort of like 90s grunge album we all missed.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Well, that's another t-shirt. I think we've established everything.
Yeah. I think like I'm not clear this is gonna be sensical in any form, but it feels good to do it.
It's world building. It's still world yeah. building. And thank you, Maria, for actually asking that question.
Yeah.
Because it gave me such a jumping off point.
That was so fun.
Yeah. You led us on a journey.
I mean, but it could be useful, right?
Oh, no,
No. You talk about a heist, you talk about, but you could bug a phone, right? You could.
This is how they're going to get passage across and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kind of answered a big hanging question that
like,
we were going to have to figure out.
How do they get
eventually.
Through? Like, what's the challenge of crossing? No. You know? Because it's like, it's not very clear. It's like, okay, cool. This is not any longer an existing like thing or whatever in between. They're not allowing passage. So how did these people get across? And here we go. We've answered a big loophole.
Yeah. You've opened the door to like insect characters, possibly with secret motivations.
Bug babies. Bug boys.
Bugums.
Bugs.
Bugs. And with that, I think we have we got another one in the can. Choo choo. Probably, I'm definitely going to be out next week. There's a good chance I'll be out the week after. So I'm okay with being out on the game making episode, just to kind of keep on schedule. But I'd still love to be part of the game if I can.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
It won't make sense to anybody else. You have to be a part of it.
Oh God, Jesus! For once, my memory is actually useful for something. God fucking. God damn it. I never wanted to be in this. This is why I play dumb characters in TNT. I don't want to be responsible for remembering things.
I mean, even just like the lived experience of having created it, like, oh, that rings a bell. That isn't complete nonsense.
Himbo life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll chalk it up to that. It's definitely not the weed.
Yeah, same.
Is he a himbo or is he just stoned? We'll never tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's interesting.
This could be used to also refer to me. So,
Maria, what did you say?
Like, does the Worm Kingdom have a reality television show?
Yes.
Is it a himbo or is it just the weed?
Yes, absolutely.
Himbo or stoned.
Yes. In the way that the heist is reality TV for the Gamblemoles, like the Gamblemoles are reality TV for the worms. Like, look at these assholes like betting on the failure of their fellow animals. Like, aren't they ridiculous?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God, that's
so. Oh God. Himbo or him stoned?
Pot of wonder.
That was a perfect ending note.
Yep.
All right, let's all back away slowly. Homer Simpson's esque into the bushes.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry, Danny. We didn't do the thing.
I mean, we did do a thing.
We did the thing.
We did a thing.
Like, that's really all I can ask for is that we do a
we
thing.
We are world building, so. Like, and it's quite possible that this would have landed here somehow.
Yeah. Like, we all have worm feelings, and we need to get them out. Clearly.
I do.
What are worms, though?
Pot of wonder.
We're tubes. Worms are tubes that are hugged on the inside and the outside.
Pot of wonder. Yeah. Yes. Print a t-shirt that says that.
Pot of wonder, hugged on the inside.
That sounds gross. Pot of wonder.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm stepping away. I love you all. Yeah. Have a good Saturday.
We crossed the line. Podcast over.
Yeah.
Oh.